We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Moshe Micham Yaakov Bebitach of Zeliyo. We're in Menachos Perik Yud Aleph Mishnah Test. By way of introduction, we've already learned that the Shtei HaLechem, the baking of the Shtei HaLechem on for Shavuos, or the Lechem HaPanim for each Shabbos, does not override the Shabbos. The truth is that even on Yontif, you're not allowed to bake them. Although baking is permitted for the purposes of a person eating, the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Mem Zayin says, based on the Pasuk in Parshas Bo, Ach Asher Yeachel Chol Nefesh, which is the permission of ochal nefesh, of cooking, baking, preparing food for yontif, that's only it's yeyasel lachem for yourselves. And we learn the drasha is lachem v'lo l'gavoah. You can bake, you can cook for yourself, but if it's for a karbon, even if you're going to be eating from that karbon, since it's for gavoah, it's for Hashem, initially, therefore, it's not included in the permission of cooking and baking on Yontif. Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Test, the Mishnah says, Shtei Alechem Ne'echalos Ein Pachos Mishnayim V'lo Yaser Al Shlosha. Mishnah says that the two lechem, which are eaten by the Kohanim, they'll never be eaten less than 2 days after they were baked, and never more than 3 days after they're baked. And the Mishnah will explain how that is. Ketzad, how does this work out? Nefos, me'erev yontif, there's two alechem, which are typically baked, as we know, on erev Shavuos. V'ne'echolos b'yomtov, they're eaten on yomtov. So that's l'shnayim. So that's where it's typically eaten on the second day, after it was baked yesterday. So that's the first day. The next day, which is yontif itself, they can be eaten. Chol yomtov lios achar Shabbos. But let's say yontif falls out on Sunday. So erev Shavuos is Shabbos, and now yontif is Sunday. So when are they baked? You can't bake them on erev yontif here because it's Shabbos. So now chalos, the shtei alechem, will be eaten in shlosha on the third day after they bake. They're baked on Friday. Then you have a Shabbos, which is erev Shavuos, and then they're eaten on Sunday. Lechem haponim ein pachos mitisha v'lo yaser al achar asar. So the Mishnah says, what about the lechem haponim, which we're eating each Shabbos by the Kohanim? They will not be eaten less than 9 days after they're baked, and not more than 11. Ketzad. So how does this work out? Nefeb Erev Shabbos, Nechav L'Shabbos. The typical week is that they're baked on Friday, then eaten on the next Shabbos. That's the Tisha. That is the ninth day after they were baked. They're baked on Friday, and the next Shabbos, which is the ninth day after they're baked. The baking day is the first day. So the Shabbos will be the ninth day. So that's where, that's the typical time when we read the Lechem HaPanim. Chol Yom Tov Lioser of Shabbos, but let's say Yontif falls out on Friday. So you can't bake them on Friday. We know you can't bake them on Friday because these are karbanos, and you, the Lachem, the Lola Gava, you can only bake for yourself. So if Yontif falls out on Friday, we can't bake them on that Friday. We have to bake them, these Lechem HaPanim, we have to bake them on Thursday. Nechal Asara. So then they will be eaten the following Shabbos, will be 10 days, or the 10th day after they were baked. Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. Let's say the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah fall out on Thursday and Friday. So you can't, typically you'd bake them on Erev Shabbos, the Lechem HaPanim. But you can't, that's the second day of Rosh Hashanah. You can't bake them on Thursday, that's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So they have to be baked on Wednesday. So therefore, Nechal Achara, so we end up eating them the following Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah, will be the 11th day after they were baked. So the Farshim ask, but there's an obvious problem. The 11th day, if Rosh Hashanah is Thursday on Friday, so then the 11th day, which is Shabbos, which is the second Shabbos, is Yom Kippur. You can't eat the lechem on Yom Kippur, so they're not going to be eaten on the 11th day. They'll be eaten on Motzei Yom Kippur. Then isn't that the 12th day? So the answer is, when it comes to karbanos, we say halayla holech achar hayom. Typically, when it comes in halacha, we assume that the day follows the night. Avayi erev, avayi voker, the day, the halachic day begins at night. But that's true when it comes to everything except karbanos. When it comes to karbanos, the day is the beginning of Beis HaMikdash, opens up, and karbanos that are brought that day and continue into the night, that night is continuation of the day. That's not the next day. And therefore, if we eat them after Yom Kippur, which is going to be, well, if Yom Kippur, the next Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah is Thursday and Friday, the next Shabbos when we want to eat the Lechem HaPanim is going to be Yom Kippur. You end up, that's the 11th day, but then Yom Kippur, Motzei Yom Kippur, that's still considered the 11th day with respect to the laws of Karbanos, and therefore the Mishnah is correct when it says, Nechal Achanasar, it will be eaten on the 11th day when two Yom Tov and Rosh Hashanah fall out on Thursday and Friday. the lechem apanim will be eaten by the kohanim from the shulchan, off the shulchan, on the 11th day. It will be the night after the 11th day, but that's still considered the 11th day. The eino doche, lo esav Shabbos v'lo seyantif. The baking of the lechem does not override the Shabbos, and it doesn't override Yontif, as we explained, based on the pasuk, hu levado yeyase lachem, lachem v'lo l'gavoa. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, mishum Rabban Shimon ben Askan, doche es yom tov. He believes that we don't have the drasha of lachem v'lo l'gavoa. Lachem teaches us something else, lachem v'lo l'nachrim, which means that we're permitted to cook for a Jew on Yontif, but we're not permitted to cook for a non-Jew on Yontif. So there's actually an issur d'rabbanan to invite a non-Jew for a Yontif meal for fear that we may end up cooking something specifically for them, to cook for everybody and happen to give him something. That's not an issue. But we're afraid we shouldn't even extend an invitation. For Shabbos, we invite non-Jews for Shabbos meals. But for Yontif meals, we should avoid inviting them d'rabbanan for fear we may end up cooking, and that cooking may be an issur d'oraisa. There's no heter to cook at all for a non-Jew based on this drasha lachem v'lo l'nachrim. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's drasha. And since he learns lachem v'lo l'nachrim for you and not for non-Jews, he does not learn lachem v'lo l'gavar. And therefore, the Torah does not exclude cooking, baking for the purposes of a karbon, and therefore you would be permitted, according to him, you would be permitted to bake the lechem aponim on Yontif itself. But then he says ve'eno doches yom tzom. But the only thing is that it certainly doesn't push off Yom Kippur. So if the Yom Kippur would fall out on a Friday, which it could happen, not today on our calendar, but in the past it could, so then you would not be able to bake the lechem aponim on that day on Yom Kippur, which falls out on Friday. Perek Yud Beis Mishnah Aleph. The basic background to our Mishnah is distinguishing between things that are called Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas Damim. A person designates an animal for a karbon, that animal now becomes inherently Kadosh, and we're not permitted to redeem it. Say, okay, you know what, I changed my mind, I won't eat this animal for dinner tonight, and I'm going to exchange it for money. It is not Tamura, where I'm exchanging it, the Kedusha, onto another animal, which is also prohibited. This is where you want to exchange its value, redeem it onto coins, and therefore it should be Yotze L'chulin. You're not permitted to do that. So that you have to bring that carbon on the Mizbech, unless of course there's a mum. If there's a mum, then if the animal develops a blemish, a mum kavua, a permanent blemish, then it can be redeemed and you bring another animal in its place. Pasuk says, Vayikra Chavzayin, Pashas Michu Kosai, V'im kol behema temea, asher lo yakrivu mimena karbon l'Hashem. There's a tamei animal that you're not permitted to offer as a carbon. V'hemid es habehema lefnei HaKohen, and you have to stand the animal in front of the Kohen. And what does the Kohen do with the animal? Ve'erich HaKohen Osa. The Kohen now appraises really the animal. It sounds like he's appraising it for redemption. Under what circumstances can you do that with an animal that was designated for as a carbon? So this says it's a Pema Tmeya, but the Chachamim say this is not really speaking about Tmeya the way we understand it, ritual and purity. It's referring to a Behema with a Mum. That's a Balas Mum, which is also Temeya, so to speak. It's certainly not permitted to be brought as a carbon, but it's not the official Tuma. Nonetheless, that's what Chazal understand this pasuk. And I already know that there's what the halach is when it comes to Behema Temeya Mamish, because in the same section of Parshas Michu Kosai, it says, V'im Behema HaTemeya Ufada Be'erkecha. There's another pasuk that speaks about appraising a real Tamei animal. So here we're speaking about an animal with a mum that can be appraised and it can be redeemed. But an animal that has Kedushas HaGuf, that does not develop a mum, that has to be brought into carbon, it cannot be redeemed. How do I know what's a proof that this pasuk v'im kol behema tameya is not really referring to a tamei animal? Because that phrase is followed by v'im kol behema tameya asher lo yakrivu mimeno karbon l'Hashem. You need to tell me that a behema that's tamei you can't bring as a carbon. Of course, I know that. That extra phrase is telling me this is another type of tumah. It's the tumah of a mum. And a tumah of a mum asher lo yakrivu. You should not bring that carbon. I know it was designated as an animal. I know it's not ritually impure, but nonetheless, a mum is not appropriate. Read, that cannot be brought as a carbon. So that's with respect to the Kedushas HaGuf. But if a person designates something to the Beis HaMikdash, a table to the Beis HaMikdash, And now, because they basically just have to, doesn't have to use the table. They can use the money from the table. But nonetheless, a person wants to redeem that, that can be redeemed. Or if he designated it on the side, didn't give to the Beis HaMikdash yet. So he can redeem it onto coins. That has Kedushas Damim. That only has monetary Kedusha, not Kedushas Agav, not inherent Kedusha. And that can be redeemed. So what's the halacha when it comes to menachos, flower offerings, nesachim, the wine that was designated, or let's say karbonos of ofos and other things as we'll see in the Mishnah. Ha-menachos v'ha-nesachim shenitmu. Here you have a case where menachos and nesachim actually became tamei. The solas and the shemen, designated for a menachos, a person was machdish them, let's say through amira, we didn't put them in a klisharis yet, or the wine that he was machdish to the Beis HaMikdash, and they became tamei. Achalo kitchen b'kli, if they became tamei before they were placed in a klisharis, in the vessel that makes them kadosh, yesh lehem pinyon, then you can redeem them with money. And the money now becomes kadosh. Those now are yotzei l'chulin, and they can be used for any purpose at all, because since they didn't become sanctified in the kli shareis just yet, they don't have kedusha saguf. Kedusha saguf, inherent kedusha when it comes to menachos, only happens when they're placed in the kli shareis, so the wine, as we said. But if they're not placed in the kli shareis, just the kedusha of the amir, or just expressing it alone, only gives it kedushas damim, and therefore there is going to be pidyon. What if you just changed your mind? You designated them the soles, shemen for menachos, yayim for nesachim, and they don't become tamei. So then, even though they weren't placed in a kli, we say the Gebraisa says you can't be po to them. Anything that's roy for the mizbeach should not be taken out of that suitable that state for to be used for another purpose. So although it only has kedusha stomach, there's no reason to be podet. We don't permit you to be podet. Misha kitchu b'kli, but once they were became sanctified in a kli shareis, the wine, the oil, the flour, and then they became tamei ein lahem pidyon. So they don't have pidyon. Now they have kedusha saguf that's chal upon them. And since they became tamei, what do? With them? You have to burn them like any carbon you would have to that became tamei. Ha'ofos. What about the birds? Torim, b'nei yonah, which are the birds that we typically bring. A person was makdish them for a carbon, and now they have a mum, and a mum, which would disqualify them. Or the ha'esim. Or let's say you have wood that person was makdish to the mizbeach. I want to bring this wood on the mizbeach. V'halavona. Or let's say you have frankincense that someone was makdish. Uklisharis. Or let's say klisharis, someone wants to donate these as makdish, these kalim are going to be kadosh for the Beis HaMikdash to be used as klisharis. Says the Mishnah, in all of these cases, if they became pasul or became tamei, ein lahem pidyon. So klisharis could just mean that it's not a makdish, meaning these were the klisharis of the Beis HaMikdash itself. And they happened to become tamei. They happened to become pasul. In all of these cases, ofos, eitzim, levona, and clay shares, ein lahem pidyon. You cannot redeem them with money. Why not? This is not like an animal. So maybe we should say they have kedushas damim. Says the Mishnah, no, shelo ne'emar ela behema. So what it's pointing out is the following. You would think we should be more lenient with birds, eitzim, levona, and kli shareis, and allow them to have pidyon. It's not like a behemo, which we say it has kedushas aguf. So the Mishnah here says, no, just the opposite. A behemo does have redemption. We said it has redemption when? If it has a mum. So it develops a mum, then you can redeem it. So what's the equivalent of a mum when it comes to eitzim, kli shareis, levona, that they become pasul, or they become tamei? So that would be their mum. And the ofos, of course, is also has a mum. That's a bird that certainly can have a mum. But since the Torah only mentions behema, and we quoted the pasuk of im kol behema tmeya, and that tmeya is a reference to a mum, asher lo yakrim imena korban lachem, that cannot be brought as a korban. So that was the mum. That what is it? What do I do? The herich es hakohen osa, the heminis abeimel v'nakohen, the behema I can stand in front of a kohen. That means if a behema has a mum, that can be appraised and it can be redeemed. If it doesn't have a mum, you can't redeem it. But if it has a mum, it can be redeemed. But since the Torah only says behema, that excludes an oaf, which is not considered a behema, and it certainly includes eitzim, lavona, and klisharis. Now, they may not have the same type of mum as an animal, but they can have their own type of mum. They became tamei, or they became pasul. And therefore, since the Torah only allows this ha'amada in front of the kohen and the ha'arach and the appraisal for redemption when it comes to a behema that has a mum, therefore, if there's any type of mum, so to speak, for ofos, eitzim, klisharis, and lavona, there is no pidyon.